Good morning. It is a privilege to be here. I want to thank you and the elders for inviting myself and my family. Last time we were here was December 29th, and it was cold and rainy and it's snowy today, but I want to let you know I do preach in warm weather too, so you can invite me back when it's a little warmer. I've entitled this lesson Responsibility. And when we think of responsibility, it's something that we struggle with. We think of responsibility as, you know, something that I'm accountable for. And in my classroom at school, I teach sixth grade, I have a sign that says, "You are responsible for your own actions." And we live in a society today where people don't like to take responsibility. Where my coffee was too hot at McDonald's and it spilled on me, and it was not my fault. Where I slipped somewhere that I shouldn't have known better was not my fault. But I want to look at some examples today as Christians how we need to take our responsibility. And when I preach to you, brothers and sisters, I preach to myself. A lot of the lessons that I come up with deals with my past. And growing up, I was the youngest of three. I didn't have a whole lot of responsibility. You can ask my wife after we got married. She found that out pretty quick. But I didn't have to mow the yard a whole lot. My brothers did that. But I can remember I got hired at Woodsfield teaching. And if it's up to me, I'd probably still be living at home. But my mom gave me the baby bird leaving the nest speech, so I thought it was time for me to leave. And it was time for me to take on responsibility in life. And I was 25 years old before I decided to accept the gospel, before I put that responsibility on. I made a lot of mistakes. And I want to look at the life of Judas that he lived. Judas sold Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Judas was responsible for his own actions. He made a mistake. He couldn't blame anybody else but himself. And when we let Jesus down in our lives, and we let Christ down in our lives, we're selling him just like Judas did. We have to take responsibility every day of our lives as being a Christian. The first scripture I'd like to look at, if you have your Bibles, go to Luke 16. Luke chapter 16. And I'm going to start with verse 19. And probably many of you can quote this parable. It said, "There was a certain rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived a luxury life. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, 'Father, send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire.' But Abraham replied, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all these, between us is a great chasm that has been fixed so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over to there to us.' He answered, 'Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let them warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' 'No, Father Abraham,' he said, 'but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" Every day, the rich man passed Lazarus. He had a choice every day of his life to take responsibility. to take responsibility to take care of that individual. We have that same responsibility every day of our lives as Christians to spread the word. Every summer, we try to take our kids to a Pittsburgh Pirate game. And this summer, I said, let's go and we're going to ride the boat over. We're going to park at the Station Square and ride the boat over. So we did that, and we got on the boat. It was full of people. And while we're getting ready to dock the boat, I looked at my little girl, Kylie, 7 years old, said, hey, Dad, what's that individual sitting right there doing at the wharf? He had a sign. It was a beggar. I said, oh, he's homeless, and he's looking for some money. And that individual sat exactly where the bridge that drops down to let you off the boat, the landing, was, within inches. He knew exactly where people walked by. And I thought to myself, what should I do here? I've got four eyes looking back at me. And she asked a lot of questions about that. And as we got off, we were kind of in a hurry to get to the game. And I made a mistake. I walked right by that individual. And I'll never forgive myself for that. Because I set that example to those four little eyes, that responsibility I have as a father, as a Christian, to do what was right. And she looked at me and said, Dad, why didn't you give anything? I said, we'll get him on the way back. And he was gone. I was wrong. I was wrong as a father, and I was wrong as a Christian. I made the same mistake as that rich man. I walked by him. Here I am going to a Pirate game, paid $20 to park my car, and I couldn't even spare a few coins for that individual. And what he did with it, that was his responsibility. I have that responsibility as a Christian to set that example. So those 300 people who got off that boat, did they think I was a Christian when I walked right by? Did they think I was a Christian when I did what was right? I just blended in with everybody else. Peter tells us we need to be that peculiar people that takes on that responsibility. I'm 38 years old here in February, and I've seen a lot of things happen in 30-some years. Been teaching for 17 years. And I see a lot of things have changed in the school system in 17 years. It went from having mom and dad coming into conferences to mommy and mommy coming into conferences. Why? Because we haven't taken that responsibility and said, it's wrong. That's my responsibility as a Christian, to stand up for God's word. It's your responsibility to stand up and say, hey, it's wrong. To set that example. Because just like the rich man, we're going to have to give an account for every mistake that we make. We need to set that example. Take that responsibility. It's not going to be easy, but we have to. If you have your Bibles there, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 4, listen to what God tells the Israelites. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. There's our responsibility. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Listen to what he says here. And this is why I think we've lacked today in society some. Impress them on your children. Talk about them as you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. Teach our children. That's our responsibility. Teach our children what we need to do as Christians. what we should be doing. Where is our priority? Is it to love God Almighty with all our souls, with all our might? Just on the way over here this morning, my wife said, look down over there at the batting cages there off of 40. Cars lined up. I said, yep. Their responsibility, those people are making that choice. There it is again, that choice to say, hey, I'm responsible for my kid being able to hit a baseball really good or a softball. Not that responsibility of bringing them to God, to impress them on our children, to teach them. That's where our responsibility is at. I have a little story here I found that goes along with this lesson. It says, a man stood in front of a group of high-powered scholars, overachievers, and said to them, it's time for a quiz. He pulled out a 1-gallon wide-mouth mason jar and set it on the table in front of him. Then he produced about a dozen fist-sized rocks and carefully placed them one by one into the jar. When the jar was filled to the top and there were no more rocks could fit inside, he asked this class, is the jar full? Everyone in the class said yes. Then he said, really? He reached under the table and pulled out a small bucket of gravel. Then he dumped some of the gravel in and shook at the jar, causing the gravel to work themselves between the spaces between the big rocks. He then asked in the group once more, is the jar full? By this time, the class caught on to him. Probably not, one answered. Good, he replied. He reached under the table and brought out a bucket of sand, started dumping the sand in, and went into all the spaces left between the rocks and the gravel. Once more, he asked, is the jar full? No, the class shouted. Once again, he said, good. Then he grabbed a pitcher of water and began to pour the water to fill the jar to the brim. He looked up the class. He said, what's the point of this illustration? One eager student said, the point is, no matter how full our schedule is, we really try hard, we can fit something else in. The speaker said, no, that isn't the point. The truth is, if you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get them in at all. God is our big rock. God is our responsibility that we have to Him. Everything else is second. Family? Yes. Friends? Yes. Everything else is second. God is our responsibility. We are responsible to spread the word, to put God first in our lives over everything. Not just within these four walls. It's a 24/7, 365-day job as a Christian. We don't get time off. Now, we go to Myrtle Beach every year. And I'm surrounded by people that I have no idea who they are. They don't know who I am. But I'm still a Christian there. I'm still a Christian. I need to act like that Christian and be that responsible Christian in preaching and teaching and showing God's Word. My dad said several times, you know, he said, we're sometimes the only Bible that people will ever read. We are. In your Bibles, go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And I'm going to start with James chapter 1. I'm going to start with verse 22. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away immediately and forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what is heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. I just can't get up here and preach to you. We just can't assemble together and sing songs. Then after we leave here, take the name of Christian away. When we go to our separate ways here in a few minutes, we take that name Christian with us. Jesus tells us what? We have to carry our cross when?
Daily. Daily. When I stepped off that boat up at Pittsburgh, I wasn't carrying my cross. I was working for Satan. Oh, Corey. Well, there's only two ways. You're either for God or you're against Him. You're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. What choice are we making? We take on that responsibility of spreading God's Word, being that Christian. And we can change things around. We can change things around, change this world around. If we put God as our main priority in our lives. If we listen to the Word and we do what it says. Not just partially. Every day of our lives. To take on that responsibility. And, you know, I told you before, I was 25 and I decided to accept the gospel. I went to school down in Athens, High University. I wasn't a member of the church then. And my roommate and I would go to church every once in a while. I always had some excuse about not going. We didn't go for several, probably weeks, maybe a month or so. One day, we're sitting there in our apartment, and I heard this. What's that? My roommate said, go see who it is. I looked through the peephole. Guess who it was? The members of the Blackburn Church of Christ in Athens, Ohio. They want to know where I've been. I looked at my roommate, and I said, uh-oh, what are we going to do now? He said, I don't know. But that, I will never forget the rest of my life. Those people took on responsibility to come get me. They took on responsibility out of their busy work week, out of their softball, soccer, and believe me, I'm starting to now with young kids, piano, schedule to come seek me out. That was the responsibility that they took on. And I wouldn't be standing here this morning, if it wasn't for people like that that took on that responsibility. Are we taking that responsibility on today and bringing people to God and saying, where are you at? We miss you. Come worship with me. We invite him to parties. Invite him to the movies. Invite him to ball games. Take on that responsibility, invite them to God. What better thing can you do for an individual? But bring them to God, their soul. Titus chapter 2, starting with verse 6 there. Listen to what the writer here in the book of Titus says. Chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, I'll skip that word. Encourage the young men to be self-controlled. And everything, set example by doing what is good in teaching and showing integrity, seriousness, in sound doctrine, in soundness of speech, so that you cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed, because they have nothing bad to say about us. Preach the word. Set that example. If I'm at the batting cages this morning, or am I at a ball game this morning, I'm setting that example. I'm putting off my responsibility as a Christian. Paul tells Timothy, preach the word in season, out of season. Preach to everybody. Be that example in everything that you do. Take on that responsibility. Not just the elders, not just the deacons. You and me as God's family. Make God our big rock. That big rock that we put in first, everything else comes next. Everything else. My brother has a young boy playing baseball. And sometimes you'll see him over here on Sunday morning because they come to church before they have a game on Sunday. He said, Corey, I don't want to set that and say, it's okay for you to do that and put God second. It's okay. He said, because if I do that one time, I set that example. I didn't take on my responsibility. My responsibility is to my children, to God's people, to be there, to teach, to preach, to help, to bring souls to God.
Nothing's going to keep us from it. The last scripture here that I will close, if you have your Bibles, comes from Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, we have an individual who wrote this, Paul, who took on the responsibility as a Christian. And listen to what he says here in chapter 8. In verse 37, he says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor present, nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." I am convinced, ladies and gentlemen, that nothing is ever going to separate us from God. No matter what this world throws at us, if God is our big rock and our responsibility we have to Him, nothing's going to separate us. I saw down in where Houston, Texas, where the mayor is trying to subpoena certain preachers' sermons about homosexuality and things. They're staying what they need to do. They're taking that responsibility and saying, "Do what you got to do. You're not going to separate me from God's love. You're not going to separate me from Christ Jesus. That's my responsibility I have to do." Take on that responsibility this morning. Make that step. Be added to the church. The angels in heaven will be rejoicing. Don't make the same mistakes I did. I heard a preacher one time. He was later in his life when he obeyed the gospel. And he actually calculated how many sermons he sat through by not obeying the gospel. It was a number that would blow your mind. How many chances and opportunities he had that he passed up. Take on the responsibility now before it's too late. Or if you've fallen away, the great thing that we have is to come back. Repent of our sins. Christ Jesus is there. Remember, our sins are not only forgotten, forgiven, they're remembered no more through Christ Jesus' blood. You have that opportunity this morning. Take advantage of it. Do you want to go to heaven? Start this morning as we stand and as we